everybody signed in. And if you have not signed in and you want to testify or you'd like a copy of the decision, we'll get started, but you can go ahead and still do that. It is March 6th. We are here for a land use case CU24043. We are on the record. My name is Jill Foster. I'm a Marion County Hearings Officer. We've just completed one land use case, so we're starting a little later than the notice today. This is the application of MKI Construction for a conditional use permit. We're going to go over the order of procedures and then we will get to the hearing itself. We'll go over the nature of the case, hear any preliminary objections. I will summarize the material in the case file. Planning Division will have an opportunity to present its staff report. Applicant or its representative will then have an opportunity to present the case. We'll hear any testimony in favor of the application, followed by any testimony in opposition to the application. There will then be an opportunity for anyone to present comments, not necessarily for or against, just comments that they would like to have included in the record. The applicant will then have an opportunity for rebuttal because the applicant has the burden of proof in land use cases. We will then close the hearing unless there's a request to continue the hearing or keep the record open. No decision will be made at the hearing. The decision will be in writing and a copy of the decision will be sent to applicant, interested parties, affected governmental agencies, and anyone who requests a copy. We are recording the hearing today. Testimony is going to be taken from the tables up front in the center of the room and will be under oath or affirmation. The recording will become a part of the official record. The record in this case is a public record. Any documents that are submitted become part of the record and generally cannot be returned. If you have any documents you'd like to submit, please let the other parties take a look at them, give them to me. We will mark them as exhibits and make them a part of the official record. Failure to raise an issue in this hearing, in person or by letter, or failure to provide statements or evidence sufficient to afford the decision maker an opportunity to respond to the issue, may preclude an appeal based on that issue and may preclude it from being raised at a later time. ORS 197.763. The failure of the applicant to raise a constitutional or other issue related to a proposed condition of approval with sufficient specificity to allow the local government or its designee to respond to the issue precludes an action for damages in circuit court. For a condition of approval to apply, it must be stated with sufficient specificity to allow the applicant to respond to the condition prior to the close of the final local hearing. ORS 197.796. I've had no ex parte communication in this matter, meaning I haven't had any contact with the parties outside of today's hearing, and I've only seen what's in the case file. We are here on the application of MKI Construction LLC to establish a non-farm dwelling on an 8.4-acre parcel in the EFU, Exclusive Farm Use Zone, located in the 14,400 block of Union School Road Northeast, Woodburn, T5S R1W, Section 21, Tax Lot 200. The planning director's approval was dated January 13th, 2025. Bernard and Patricia Hitz are interested persons and appealed the planning director's decision on January 27th, 2025. We are here on a de novo public hearing on the planning decision. Before I summarize the material in the case file, I'll ask the parties if there's any preliminary objections to notice, jurisdiction, or conflict of interest. Ms. Ganderville?
Ms. Ganderville, Margaret Ganderville, the attorney for the applicant. We did have a jurisdictional challenge based on the appellant's failure to actually state what the appeal was focused on in terms of the criteria or any of the required submissions in the county's procedure code.
Thank you. And actually, if you don't mind staying there for just a moment, you have identified yourself, Margaret Ganderville, attorney for the applicant, and as a member of the Oregon State Bar, I will not ask you to be sworn in, but I will ask you to provide your mailing address for the record.
It's 250 Church Street, Suite 200, Salem, Oregon, 97301.
And I understand that on March 5th, there was an application or a submission from the applicant that you did challenge the jurisdictional grounds based on the failure to indicate shortcomings in the ruling. I think on that will overrule the objection with respect to the jurisdictional grounds. The appeal references some of the criteria briefly in it, so I think I'll expand that, but then also take your submission in response to the actual issues that are allegedly raised in the notice of appeal with respect to defect in the staff report.
Thank you.
For the record, the case file contains the notice of decision, notice of public hearing, the conditional use application, including the statement and deed, notification list, a new deed, an extension agreement, soil analysis, maps, aerials, comments from various governmental agencies, including Public Works, DLCD, soil assessment completeness review, soil assessment form, maps and legends, challenges to that, challenge to the study area, the appeal of the planning decision by Bernard and Patricia Hitz, and also submitted and placed in the record is the submission letter of Marjorie Campbell that was received on March 4th. And as I referenced, there was a March 5th submission from applicant's counsel objecting to the appeal on jurisdictional grounds, as well as response to some of those issues raised in the notice of appeal. We will proceed with the hearing in, despite any jurisdictional objection, and hear those issues that Ms. Gandervoet has, in fact, addressed in her submission. This complete file will be made a part of the record. All testimony should be directed to the subject matter of this case. The laws applicable to this case are found in Marion County Code 17.136, Exclusive Farm Use Zone, and Marion County Code 17.119, providing for conditional uses. Are there any procedural questions before we begin? Mr. Seifert.
Less procedural, more an addendum to the relevant code sections there. I did not, the adjustment section will be touched on, and that is going to be 17.116.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Okay, let's proceed. And Mr. Seifert, do you swear or affirm that the testimony you will give in this proceeding will be true to the best of your knowledge?
I do.
Thank you. Please state your name, spell your last name for the record, and provide your mailing address.
Yes. For the record, this is Alex Seifer, S as in Sam, E-I, F as in Frank, E-R. And the mailing address is 5155 Silverton Road Northeast, Salem, Oregon, 97305.
Thank you. Please present your staff report. Okay. Which I have read, by the way.
Mm-hmm. And I will, I'm going to be brief on this, and I can elaborate further on any issues need be. But the item before you today, it's an application for a conditional use permit to establish a non-farm dwelling on an 8.4-acre parcel in the exclusive farm use zone, located in the 1400 block of Union School Road Northeast. Concurrently, the applicant has also requested an adjustment to the special dwelling setbacks of 200 feet from farm uses, for non-farm dwellings, and 100 feet for setbacks to accessory structures. The requested adjustments were to 55 feet from the east property line and 96 feet from the north property line for the dwelling, and 35 feet from the east property line for the accessory structure. The property is located on the east side of Union School Road, roughly 500 feet north of the intersection of Union School Road and Wilco Highway Northeast, Highway 214. Consists of three visible distinct sections. The southern part, which is most somewhat sparsely forested woodlot. The central section, which contains the bulk of an intermittent stream. And the north section, which contains roughly 2 acres of a hazelnut orchard that doesn't seem to be maintained at the moment. There's only one structure on the parcel at this time. There's no dwellings on the subject parcel. And the property has been in its current configuration since at least April 4th, 1974, when it was sold to Edwin and Adeline Sousa on a deed found on Reel 7, page 220 in the Book of Land Records for Marion County, Oregon. It is considered a legal parcel for land use purposes. The applicants are required for a non-farm dwelling. The Planning Division requested comments from various governmental agencies, and those that provided comments were the Public Works Land Development, Engineering, and Permits, otherwise known as LDEP, Marion County Septic, and Marion County Building. These comments are located in the file for reference. All other contacted agencies declined to comment or stated no objection to the proposal. For the relevant code sections, Marion County Code Chapter 17.136.060A is the criteria for all conditional use applications and contains the farm impacts test. And then Marion County Code 17.136.060B is the specific criteria for establishing a non-farm dwelling on a parcel in the exclusive farm use zone. In addition, MC 17.136.070 outlines non-farm dwelling requirements. And finally, Marion County Code 17.116.020B outlines criteria for granting adjustments with respect to the planning director having a purview to allow an adjustment to special setbacks in the situation for non-farm dwellings in sort of a special way, and I will touch on that in near the end of the summary. Ultimately, the applicants in their application addressed the different criteria for the non-farm dwelling specific criteria, as well as the general criteria for conditional uses, and as well as then submitted evidence for their application for the adjustment to the special non-farm dwelling setbacks. They met all the requirements for the non-farm dwelling conditional use. With the adjustments, they addressed certain criterion here. Specifically in this section, there's two parts that are relevant to it. As I mentioned before, it's the 17.116.020B. If I pull up here. In this section, it speaks to adjustments and the purview with the planning director. Adjustments to special setback requirements in this case, exclusive farm use zone, the director, planning commission, hearings officer, or board may permit and authorize an adjustment to the special setback standards listed in this case, 17.136.070A, which is the non-farm dwelling requirements section, as outlined in those sections. The criteria in subsection A of this section, which is the normal criteria for adjustments, does not apply to adjustments granted under this subsection. The limits of adjustments do not apply to adjustments granted under this subsection as well. In this situation, the amount of adjustment granted by the planning director in this situation, as the normal standard for a special setback for a dwelling in the exclusive farm use zone for a non-farm dwelling, is 200 feet. The planning director, as per their purview, granted it reduced that to 100 feet, as outlined in the condition of approval number 2, the initial part, where it says a 96-foot setback from the north property line and a 100-foot setback from the east property line. And that being for non-farm dwellings and accessory structures. That is what the planning director determined they would do in their purview under this section. And then the rest was granted through having to meet the criteria outlined under the other section, 17.136.070. And so that is why there is a further request for the applicant to go beyond that 196 allowed by the planning director, to go to the further 55-foot setback of the primary dwelling, a primary non-farm dwelling, and 36 feet for the accessory structures. The applicant, in their arguments, states that the purpose of this is to allow for a septic system to be feasible to service the dwelling on the property, is the basis of it. County found that this is an acceptable justification for an adjustment. However, the county found that the applicant had yet to submit sufficient evidence in support justifying this as being a real issue. And so, as sort of a compromise, a condition of approval was made requiring them to meet the adjustment setbacks that the planning director had outlined of 100 feet from the east property line, 96 from the north, and giving them an opportunity to submit evidence supporting their argument that a septic system was not feasible and that a 35-foot setback for accessory structures and 55-foot setback for a dwelling was necessary. The applicant met all conditions of approval, or met all criteria required, and or has been given conditions of approval that will allow them to further meet that, i.e. that second condition. And so ultimately the staff approved the application. I will stand for any questions that you might have. That went a little bit longer than I was wanting to, but.
I think I'm gonna defer any questions until after other hearings. Ms. Gandervaux. You've been identified for the record, so please proceed.
Good afternoon. Again, Margaret Gandervaux, the attorney for the applicant. We just wanted to kind of touch base and give a broad overview of the materials that we've submitted since and kind of the status of the application since it's, I think, changed a little bit and the submission was so late last night. The applicant's position is that the original proposal satisfies the applicable approval criteria. As stated in the application, there are significant constraints on the property, the soil types, the slopes, the existence of the creeks, a neighboring well, and the additional special subjects constrain the property so that the development of the non-farm dwelling is really limited in terms of where it can be sited. The applicant's original proposal was focused on maintaining kind of slope stability and allowing for the largest contiguous piece of property as possible to kind of limit impacts on the small portions of high-value soils that are present on the property. Upon receipt of this appeal and based on the conditions of approval provided by the county, the applicant provided a supplemental site plan, which we are proposing in the alternative. This demonstrates feasibility with the 100-foot setbacks and kind of addresses some of the additional adjustment criteria. We believe that a septic evaluation will ultimately show that we should be able to use the reduced setbacks that we originally proposed, but we also wanted to demonstrate that it's feasible to site within the planning director's determination regarding the 100-foot and 96-foot setbacks. Similarly, we believe that the shop will be able to be located fully outside of the 100-foot setback, but because we haven't had the opportunity to fully explore that feasibility, we do want to maintain the 96-foot special setbacks, adjusted setbacks in case they're needed. We want to reemphasize as well the soil findings. Not only were they submitted by someone who's a professional in the field who has done a particularized determination on this particular parcel, they also did an evaluation of the growth pattern and commercial feasibility of farming on this particular site. And it shows that, especially in the proposed location of the dwelling, commercial farming is not possible on this property because the soils are so poor and the additional constraints from the creek and lack of drainage for this particular soil type makes the area proposed for the dwelling, the site that least impacts the high-value soils on the property. The applicant in this proposal is hoping to retain the majority of the high-value soils in kind of hopes of having personal use of those. They're so small that you wouldn't be able to do a commercial farm operation, but you could do personal farming or personal gardening or kind of a small orchard development. It's about an acre. The applicant has spent significant time, effort, and money in rehabilitating the property, cleaning it up, addressing some derelict buildings on site, and in improving the property is hoping to develop it in a way that will be consistent with the kind of mix of rural, residential, and agricultural uses in the area. There are sufficient mitigation measures both in the conditions of approval and in the conditional use process that show that this particular proposal is consistent with both the agricultural uses on the neighboring property and the kind of closer in residential uses on the other neighboring properties. We are requesting that you affirm the planning director's decision or, in the alternative, approve the applicant's alternate proposal, as the applicant has shown by evidence in the record that it meets the applicable approval criteria. I can answer any questions that you'd like, or I can wait and answer them in rebuttal.
I think I'd like to wait as well.
Okay.
Thank you.
Great. Thank you.
Is there anyone that would like to be heard in favor of the application? Is there anyone that would like to be heard in opposition to the application? Okay. Go ahead, come have a seat. What's your name? All right, Ms. Bowman-Holt, do you swear or affirm that the testimony you will give in this proceeding will be true to the best of your knowledge?
I affirm that to the best of my knowledge, yes.
Please state your name, spell your last name for the record, and provide your mailing address.
Yes. My name is Nancy J. Bowman-Holt. I go with the last name Holt,
okay.
H-O-L-T. Bowman is in honor of my father, whose farm we live on at Union School Road. That is at 14817 Union School Road, Northeast, Woodburn, Oregon, 97071.
Thank you. Please proceed.
I want to let you know that I will leave a written form of this, as well as I have one other written testimony to submit from my brother, who's not able to come. He's addressing his Parkinson's diagnosis. Okay. I respectfully oppose the granting of the conditional use proposal for 14,400 Union School Road Northeast, Woodburn, Oregon. Furthermore, at the outset, I request an opportunity to present additional evidence, argument, or testimony. I request that the written record be left open for an additional 7 days to allow the submission of testimony from other parties. My remarks are of two types. One, addressing the importance of maintaining agricultural lands. The other, addressing the specific proposal. The intent of exclusive farm use zoning is to protect the agricultural patrimony of Oregon. The soil of the Willamette Valley is rich topsoil, having been deposited millennia ago by the Missoula floods. This soil is reputed to be up to 100 feet deep without rocks and is among the richest soil for food and crop production in the world. According to the USDA Natural Resources Conservation Service, these are very productive forest soils. Many areas have been cleared and are used for agricultural crops. The rich soils and the climate of the Willamette Valley provide an ideal setting for the production of many crops, including Christmas trees, various berries, filberts, also known as hazelnuts, sweet corn, wheat, and many varieties of grass seed. The soils are suitable for the grapes used in the expanding wine industry, end of quote. Even when lands are not producing crops, they are valuable to agricultural use. Hedgerows, fallow land, and wild areas support wildlife conservation of birds, small mammals, and pollinators, which keep agricultural lands productive. Carbon sequestration in trees and wild lands is also a valuable agricultural use. Undeveloped land, even when it is not in annual production. Maintaining agricultural lands is increasingly important for food security. Many nations, developed nations, are no longer able to feed their populace because farmlands are used for other purposes. In Oregon, we have rich soils, abundant water, and hardworking farmers and farm workers. Farmers are the backbone of our nation. As a popular bumper sticker states, if you ate today, thank a farmer. The USDA further states, quote, growing urbanization of the Willamette Valley is resulting in a great deal of pressure for development, unquote, often into historically agricultural areas. This is evident in the expansion of urban growth boundaries, which provide housing for the growing population of the area. These, however, are adjacent to urban areas. The property under consideration is not adjacent to an urban area. Rather, it is an established property for exclusive farm use. I ask, how far will the urban growth boundary be extended, especially if farmland is increasingly dotted with residents and the exclusive farm use zoning loses its force, especially when we end up with a patchwork of zoning? The preservation of such rich farmland is important for the future of our state and our nation. We've been blessed with rich soils and thus with the ability to provide food for our population. This capacity becomes more and more critical to preserve. Oregon State Republican Senator Daniel Bonham from the Dalles recently made the following statement in support of a proposed bill to restrict agricultural land ownership, which summarizes my point of view.
Ms. Holt, I'm going to stop you just briefly. Are you going to submit your statement to the record?
Yes,
I understood
ma'am.
That you were.
Yes.
And I think I'm just mindful of all the people that want to provide testimony and limiting time. I think there's probably no one in this room that disputes the value of EFU zoning and the importance of agriculture in the Willamette Valley in the state of Oregon. So I think I'm going to request that your testimony, in addition to what you submit, be limited to your objection to the specific approval of this conditional use permit. It's not a rezoning, just the specifics.
Yeah. It would be a rezoning, if I understand correctly, if the area is not used for farming.
It's not a rezoning application. No, it's to place a non-farm dwelling on EFU property.
Okay, thank you. I just would like to conclude this portion by saying we depend on the Marion County Planning Division to uphold exclusive farm use zoning in order to keep the land in good production and for the common good. So we do appreciate your work. All right. Regarding the 14400 Union School Northeast property, according to 17.136.010, the purpose of exclusive farm use designation is to provide areas for continued practice of commercial agriculture. It is intended to be applied to those areas composed of tracts that are predominantly high-value farm soils. The Planning Division's notice of decision indicates that the soil classification for the subject property has been reclassified and that this is a key basis for the conditional approval. While I am not equipped to dispute the study, a question arises regarding the significant disparity between the 91.5% high-value soils finding by the independent Marion County Survey and the 75.7% non-high-value farm soils finding by a company, I don't know, but perhaps financed by the applicant. How does that significant change happen? The Souza family, who owned the property in question for several decades, managed it as small farm acreage farmland. In my lifetime, the parcel has produced hazelnuts and Christmas trees, some of which have graced our home, and has served as pasture land. It is productive land suitable for agricultural use, though not of sufficient size to independently support commercial agriculture. Adjoined to an existing abutting farmland property, it would be agriculturally viable. As Bev Souza Heller stated in a February 27, 2025 email, that parcel is owned farming and had to be 10 acres, I think, to build, but it is only 9, actually, as we know, 8.4. It was the Souza family's understanding and that of the neighborhood of Union School Road that the property would remain farmland. In addition, part of the waterway for drainage flows through this parcel. The waterway will be affected according to how much of the acreage is covered with asphalt or buildings. Asphalt and buildings do not allow the land to absorb water and increases the downstream impact by forcing more water into the stream. If the culvert provided is not of sufficient size, the roadway will be flooded. If the amount of water is increased by the hardscaping, downstream erosion will increase. 107.136.030 identifies, as to my understanding, when a single-family dwelling customarily provided in conjunction with farm use may be erected. The applicant has proposed a residence and a shop. Both buildings, according to the notice of decision for conditional use, would be erected on, quote, the only portion of the property that is historically farmed, end quote. Since the land principally used for agriculture would be covered with buildings, how then are the proposed buildings to be used in conjunction with farm use? If I may, as we well know, the exclusive farm use, it prohibits the erection of non-farm structures apart from certain exceptions. Exceptions which have expanded to 39 pages of Chapter 17, Exclusive Farm Use of the Marion County Code. The intent of the exclusive farm use zoning to conserve farm and forest lands for the production of crops, livestock, and timber products is whittled away by the approval of exceptions. Every time an exception is made, farmland and productivity are lost. Every time an exception is granted, established land use policy is weakened. Every time an exception...
Again, Ms. Holt, I'm gonna ask that you restrict your testimony to objections with this specific and how this approval issued by the planning department is not supported by the criteria, specific criteria in the code that you challenge.
Correct. Thank you for that correction. I appreciate it. I'll close with just saying I appreciate the opportunity to publicly address the Planning Division and to encourage your continued support of the primary intent of the exclusive farm use zoning. Thank you for your consideration and for your careful work.
Understood. Thank you very much. And then you're going to submit as Exhibit 1 your written statement and as Exhibit 2 your brother's written statement. Yes, any objection, Ms. Gandervoe? Jurisdictional objection continuing.
No objections, but can I request a
Yes.
Thank you.
Yes, and are we going to do the, are we going to, do you want it open? I guess if somebody requested it, we need to leave it open.
Well,
so
yeah,
she did, so.
She requested it.
Yeah.
It
is.
I'm not saying that it is.
Yeah.
I'm just saying if we're going to do that, can we
yes.
kind of limit testimony?
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay. So those two exhibits will be admitted, offered and admitted. And we will go to next. Anybody else that would like to offer testimony? Thank you, Mr. Holt. Do you swear or affirm that the testimony you'll give in this proceeding will be true to the best of your knowledge?
Yes.
Thank you. Please state your name, spell your last name for the record, and provide your mailing address.
My name is Don Holt, H-O-L-T, and I live at 14817 Union School Road Northeast, Woodburn.
Thank you. Please proceed.
Thank you. In the notice of decision, I respectfully submit the following concerns. Number one, in the soil study that was submitted by the owner, it raises some questions. First of all, was it prepared by an independent professional soil classifier as is required? And secondly, was it reviewed and approved by the Department of Land Conservation and Development? And that was not stated in the decision. Number two, the culvert size recommended in finding number 6A of 24 inches is inadequate. There is currently a culvert in the farm road onto this property that is 36 inches, and there's also a double 24-inch culvert under the road. I have seen both of these overwhelmed in heavy rainstorms causing flooding of the road. So the recommended 24 inches is woefully inadequate. Number three, finding number 9 states that the woodlot to the north, quote, does not appear to be planted as part of a timber harvesting purpose, end quote. This is an assumption on a part of the county that needs the owner's input. I don't know if that has any effect on the decision, whether it is actually a commercial harvesting purpose or not. Number four, I propose that there are other areas on the site where buildings and septics could be fitted in, particularly in the southwest corner of the property. This siding would, quote, maintain as much historical farmland as possible, end quote. I have two alternate siding plans that I would like to submit. This location would not interfere with existing farming and forest to the north and east of this subject property. Thank you.
Okay. So are you wanting to submit those as exhibits?
Yes.
Okay. So that will be exhibit 2 and 3. Let me see what
it's
it is.
Two pages.
And they're different. Okay, I'm going to make this exhibit 3, and including alternate site plan number 1 and number 2.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Is there anyone else that would like to be heard in opposition to the application? Hitz? Ms. Hitz, do you swear or affirm that the testimony you'll give in this proceeding will be true to the best of your knowledge? Please state your name, spell your last name for the record, and provide your mailing address.
Patricia Hitz, HITZ, 12503, Elliott Prairie Road, Northeast.
Thank you. Please proceed. Go ahead.
We are requesting of the planning director to adhere to the EFU dwelling setback of 200 feet from our farmland as, quote, required, and 100 feet for accessory buildings, also required. If we plant the adjoining field with filbert trees or perhaps fruit trees, the farm, BNP Hitz Fruit Farm, will have a very difficult different spray program. Our neighbor on the east of our property has already put in a hedge to prevent spray drift from his nursery to our property. And I have a photo of that from the other day that shows that hedge.
Is your objection, you don't necessarily object to the approval, it's only the setback adjustments?
No,
okay.
There's more.
Okay.
The no non-farm dwelling should not be able to dictate what type of farming our sons can do in the future. Now it is in grass and grain type crops we spray downward. But if we should plant that into orchard trees, filberts, peaches, whatever, our spray will be spreading upward. Thus, we would have to probably hedge our farm so that the drift would not go on to hit this parcel of property. Non-farm dwelling, if located in the southwest portion of the property, would not be affected by our farming. There seems to be an option of building in the southwest portion of this property, thus saving the most agricultural friendly land and meeting the requirements of EFU zoning. EFU zoning, I remind everyone, is in existence to save farmable land, not destroy it. Until about 2016 or 2017, the filbert orchard was producing filberts. Died, and his wife rented the filbert orchard to a neighbor. Could no longer care for the orchard, no one did. It was sold as farmland, but the new owner did nothing in the line of farming. It appears neglect is what the prevented income and production. The soil is rich and can grow a large variety of food. We have seen filberts, little fruit orchard, cherries, apples, pears, walnuts. Mrs. Souza also had a small garden in her later years located in the southwest area of the parcel. We question the soil classification change or adjustment because of how much growth there. These wild plants and orchards grew with no irrigation, no care, and no fertilizer. Does this update, in quotes, and on soil classification done by soil samples or how? We don't know how that happens. If it's a soil sample like on our farm, they come out and do soil samples. With the overgrowth of this particular piece of property, I don't think anybody would have went through those brambles to take a soil test. So I don't know how that happened. I would like an answer to it. We are not experts in soil classification, but it seems very unlikely that it would change and right to the property line between the parcel in question and our farm or any neighbor's land. Can anyone here even explain if soil sampling was done? Soil classification certainly seems to have the purpose of getting a dwelling put on the best farmland in this parcel. The applicant's proposal is a direct assault on the farmable land on this parcel as the dwelling site, would destroy the farmable land forever. Definitely the last crop ever would be this non-farm dwelling.
Would you like to submit that photograph as an evidence?
I can do that.
Have an open record period.
Yeah, this is
still going to be open. Thank you. Is there anyone else that would like to be heard in with any specific criteria? The issues of soil sampling have been raised, so if you have additional.
My name is Bernard Hitz.
Good afternoon, Mr. Hitz. Do you swear or affirm that the testimony you'll give in this proceeding will be true to the best of your knowledge?
I do.
Thank you. Please state your name, spell your last name, and write your mailing address.
Bernard Hitz, H-I-T-Z.
Thank you. Please proceed. I'm sorry, your mailing address.
12503 Elliott Prairie Road, Woodburn, Oregon.
Thank you.
97071.
Thank you. Please proceed.
First of all, I'd like to know what this soil tool that they refer to in this application here is. I never heard of a soil tool. It got classified two, one, two, and three soils What type of soil is it? Is it Chehalis, Woodburn soil, or which one is it? What kind of soil is it? And it seems funny that his soil is better or worse than our soil across the fence. We've raised garden potatoes and all kinds of crops in there. And at one time, that was evergreens even, before we got it. And what it says something about irrigation in here. Why would irrigation change the type of soil or have any effect of that? Them trees are old trees. They were there, mature trees, when I moved in the area in 1950. They were still producing, according to Adeline Souza, last time Tom Center picked them. He's got just about enough to pay all the property taxes. And when they first bought that place, they had the alfalfa in the south corner, southeast, southwest corner, where the Christmas trees were. Had pasture and the rest of it, and then Christmas filberts up on top. About 2 acres of filberts. And when Irvin couldn't take care of them anymore, the son-in-law took the tractor and machinery and had kind of quit. He then passed away. And there's one thing they said that they're going according to tax lots. Well, our place consists of five little places we put together. There's five tax lots. I have another piece of property that's got three tax lots on it. That's west of the Pudding River. And one of them you can never build on it. Why there's three tax lots on that property when I bought it, I do not know. And that's 75 acres. They said there's what the heck was it? There's only 60 acres or more. Well, there's a lot of farms around there are over 60 acres. One farm, the county let him cut the place in two. It was over 60 acres. They let him cut it in two and put another house on it. Then he went in another piece of ground that wasn't adjacent to it. They let him put a labor camp in there with a double wide for a manager. And some years later, 5, 10 years later, whatever it was, a young couple come back. Where's the apartments with a double wide house for the manager to do and live in? Well, now it's used as two houses.
Thank you, Mr. Hitz. Do you have any specific objection to the planning decision? I understand
yes,
you questioned the soil classification.
It's exclusive farm use, and it should be left as exclusive farm use. That's what we got. That's what it's there for.
Again, this is not a zone change application, but I Pardon? Thank you. This is not a zone change application, but thank you for your testimony.
If anything, it should be put on the south end of that place where it takes up and destroys the least amount of good farm soil, good land. That's good land down there, but it wouldn't take up as much space and wouldn't interfere with the farming of the bigger piece of the property.
Okay.
And there's one thing in here, I don't know what the deal is here, but it says high value soil and would not qualify for a lot of record due to the date of ownership transfer. What's that mean?
Okay, well, Mr. Hitz, there's the Planning Division made a decision about lot of record. It is a legal lot for this purpose, so I don't think that's part of the challenge of your appeal. And you have addressed your issues of soil classification and placement of the home and protection of farmland to the greatest extent possible. So I think you've address those, and we're getting over a 5-minute level at this time. So unless you have a specific statement on another issue that you specifically object on the base of criteria, then I'm going to ask that the next witness proceed.
He stopped there, Stan, twice, and he said that he could put a septic tank on the south corner, but it costs more to put it in. What's more valuable, an acre and a half or 2 acres of farmland, or $1,000 for a septic tank, increased septic tank? And we got, and then from the south end there, our property adjacent to that is pasture, so we wouldn't be spraying it. And according to the Public Works in Salem up here, they told us that they tried to put the houses in clusters in their farm area there. And that would put it down next to the other houses.
Thank you.
And the one house that
I think there's been.
We own the rents across the road there. The guy in there owns the small nursery down towards Monitor. So he can't, so he's a farmer. Even if he doesn't own the house. And the only other farm land that is farmed for commercial use is the Filbert Orchard on the west side of the Union School Road.
Thank you. And I think the issue of placement of the resident of the potential non-farm dwelling has been brought up, and I think any further testimony about placement of it would be cumulative at this point. So I'm going to proceed to the next witness. You have an open record. If there's other things you'd like to submit, you are welcome to do so.
I don't have anything to submit.
Okay.
But I do have a plan he gave me here, a sketch of what his layout would be.
That's been submitted, so with the site plan.
The recent one or the first one he put up? The first one, the second one here, he's got 100 feet from our fence line, and his septic tank is placed.
A different
and he got
one.
Secondary place
Mr.
for
Hitz,
his septic
I think
system.
That's a different one. So let's, and you can look at whatever's on the county website that would have the appropriate documents. But you've used your time, and so I need to let the applicant have her opportunity to present a rebuttal to the specific issues that have all been raised.
I can give you this if you want it.
That's okay. You don't need to do that. Thank you. Is there anyone that has comments, in general comments, to the application? Or any? Ms. Gandervo?
Margaret Gandervo, attorney for the applicant. I just wanted to really quickly reemphasize that this is not a zone change. This is a conditional use permit, and the county has established a conditional use process to ensure that the application of the county's code is done in a way that's fair and equitable and allows for some flexibility in situations like this, where having property that is not commercially farmable can still be utilized in a different way, subject to specific criteria which the applicant has shown compliance with. Our soil study was prepared by a professional in the field. It was reviewed and approved by DLCD in accordance with the process and submitted to the county. That reclassification process has happened, and it was based on soil samples that were taken throughout the property. At least 12 samples were taken. There have been several comments regarding placing the dwelling in the southwest corner. As shown in the soil study, that corner is actually where the largest percentage of high-value soils are located. So while it might be feasible to put the dwelling in that location, that actually goes against what all of the testimony in kind of reservation of high-quality farmland has been submitted regarding. So while it is feasible potentially to locate in that location, it would require the use of those high value soils for the siting of the dwelling, which is why the location was selected on top of the terrace, where aerial photos of the hazelnut orchard show the weakest trees, which suggests to the person who generated the soil study that that area is not productive as farmland and would least impact the usable area in terms of agriculture use.
Let me just make sure I understand what you're saying. The southwest corner where appellants proposed would be, opponents proposed would be a preferable place is actually the higher value soil portion of the property?
Exactly. Based on the soil sampling and soil classifications in kind of the preference order from the county. The soil study contains a detailed analysis of what the particular types of soil as well as their classification and productivity based on their ability to hold water and disseminate water, which is what the irrigation comment is related to, I believe. Again, adhering to the EFU setbacks has been done as robustly as possible given the other constraints on the property. The applicant is willing to put up vegetative screening against the fence line if that would be helpful to the appellants. But we also want to mention that Oregon right to farm laws make it so that the siting of a dwelling on EFU property is not a basis for protesting to the some negative externalities that farm use have on the adjacent property. However, there are also requirements that people who are spraying their crops keep that spray on their property regardless of whether or not there's a farm use on the adjacent property. So that in and of itself is not a negative impact on an adjacent farm use because they are already required to restrict their spraying in a way that doesn't impact neighboring properties. I believe that the comments regarding the tax lots were related to our study area, and that was performed in conformance with the county's requirements. So all of that was submitted in the record. It was properly configured, and that data set came from the county itself. So I think there might be some confusion about the methodology for that, but that study area is kind of established in the normal course of business and has been properly submitted into the record. If you have any other questions, I'm happy to answer them at this point.
Didn't hear any, is there, see, and the conditions approval are,
regarding the stormwater detention, really quickly, this development will be built in accordance with Marion County standards, including their engineering standards, which require stormwater detention, especially when adjacent to kind of mapped waterways. I believe that this is an ephemeral stream, but it will be something that is addressed at building permit stage and that is properly conditioned.
Okay. Anything, I think you've probably thoroughly covered this in your submission, but just briefly on the issue of the variance, anything more you'd like to add into the record about why these setbacks are appropriate?
Yeah, I think the main rationale being that we do want to retain as much contiguous land as possible. Kind of developing in that corner allows a larger swath of property to be retained. Positioning the house closer to Union School Road does comply to a greater extent with those setbacks, but it does require kind of sectioning the property into a way that it creates kind of an island around the house. So in thinking about the impact on soil stability, the drainage, kind of all of those building principles, we think that this is a reasonable position to retain kind of vacant rural land in a way that is a larger chunk of land. We do understand the concerns about the kind of it being closer to the fence line. So if you're giving a preference to kind of the adjacent farm uses versus the kind of retaining what is non-productive land and kind of agricultural classification, we would say that moving the house further into the interior of our property would help accomplish that. But it is a trade-off in terms of moving out of the setback and into kind of the larger parcel of land versus consolidating the development into the corner where it's not going to impact our particular parcel as much.
With this one. Okay. Anything further you'd like to, right now you will have a submission opportunity.
I think just in terms of the open record period, I know 777 is going to push us into spring break. So if we could do longer response period, I think that might be helpful for folks.
Honey, I think I have for this one that a decision needs to be issued before April 1.
Let me go to the timeline on that one really quickly. Which should have been in here. Here we go.
We can address that with an extension if needed.
I've got the HO decision due date is listed as Tuesday, April 8th.
Oh.
And the county decision due date listed on our thing here is 5/1/2025, at least on the most recent timeline sheet calculator
okay.
that
well,
we
great.
Have.
Well, great, that's later then. So that would give, so should we do 7/7/14?
That would be great.
Okay, so then we will have 1 week to the day for
pardon to interrupt, but if with that timeline, we would like to request a 60-day extension to be granted from the applicant to be able to help us meet our timelines.
We're fine with that.
Oh, okay. What's that one? Still six.
6/13 and then 20 and then 27. That last week is the week you're going. So that does get us. Is it April 1 or April 8?
I think there's something up with the spreadsheet calculator.
April 8th, then we have no problem doing the 14 days, and then.
Mm-hmm. I did notice that Mr. Barnes pointed out this one looks to be slightly. Here's the other one. They're out of the older one. The one previous was on top of the newer one. So it looks like I think he's still finding it. It still shows up as Tuesday, April 1st. But again, that's with an additional 45-day extension that we got. So something's not tracking right on the spreadsheet. So we'd still like the 60-day extension, if possible, because that covers bases. But we'll need to figure out what that – we'll get that decision date to you as soon as we figure out what's up with the spreadsheet.
We're willing to provide an extension, and we can determine what's needed. Okay.
So assuming there'll be an extension granted, then I will go 7, 7, and 14. So 27. So Thursday is the 27, 28. That April 4 is the Thursday. Is that enough time for the 14 days through April 4? If it's April 4, you guys can decide about your extension, but I can, if it's actually the due date is the 8th, then we're good, because I can just get it done in those 4 days between there.
Okay, yeah, we'll figure it out, because again, like I said, the spreadsheet seems off.
Okay, so yeah, we'll go 7/7/14 with the final being April 4th, and then if decision's required by the 8th, great. If not, there's extension, then that's agreed to. Okay, so the hearing will close, but the record will remain open for additional written submissions. Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Baby to pick up. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank
you.
I know I get.
No, it's a passionate topic for sure, and I don't disagree with the use of it. Appreciate that.
Your work is so important.
Appreciate that. Thank you.
Thank you. And I do get concerned about the, but I understand.